Good morning, 7:38, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Happy Wednesday. It's bright, sunny, and the mayor is here in studio with me. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thank you, Andrew. Glad to be here.
I can't remember. We had you in studio one time before. We did the same kind of a thing, a town hall, right?
That's right. Yeah, just taking all sorts of questions. Now I think we're
a little more focused
this
time. Yeah, so you guys proposed, and I thought it was a very good idea with all the changes in parking downtown, changes in the hours, changes in the places, changes in the app, changes in the law. There's all kinds of stuff in flux, and your idea was, hey, let's have a town hall where we just talk about parking. So if you've got a question or a comment, if you want to complain, if you want to praise, if you want to ask, 437-1620, phone calls or texts. Either way, if you want to talk right to the mayor, he'll listen. If you want to text me and I'll relay it to him, we will do it that way. However you want to get in touch with him, he'll be here for an hour, 437-1620, 437-1620. Let's just give a brief prelude before we start taking calls and texts. Key things you want people to know.
Yeah,
red lot, blue lot.
Right. Let's start with that. Kind of set the table here, because as you can imagine, we've taken lots of questions. I've got a pretty good sample size of some misperceptions that might be out there. So just to set the table, number one, we do not control the red lots or anything that's not blue. So when someone says I paid $5 an hour, or another good test is if you ever got a ticket, quote unquote, a ticket in the mail that did not come from the city.
An invoice, as you called it yesterday.
Which is what it is. There's no legal authority on that. So if you got a ticket in the mail, you can guarantee that that did not come from the city. So we asked in that survey.
Or a guy flagging people down. Hey, come park here. We got a deal. That's not a city.
Yeah. It is clearly designated in the blue color if it is city spaces. So again, we asked in a survey last year before we went through the study process, and 31% of the 5,000 people who took it, so 1,500 people, we said, which ones does the city control, blue or red? 31% said red.
Oh, no.
So I think that causes a lot of confusion.
Yeah.
And really, I'll be honest with you, a lot of the complaints about cost, I believe, are baked into when you paid $4, $5 an hour at a 24/7 enforced private lot.
Sure.
And they think that that's us. So just make sure that we're, any questions, certainly take any critique, questions, concerns.
I'll say this just for clarity's sake. You know, I will whine and scream and moan about any paying for parking, because I'm a free parking guy.
Yep.
But I will and have occasionally paid the blue price, okay? Very, very infrequently. You will never, if you see me in a red lot, I've been murdered. I mean,
I've been murdered, and
somebody moved the body. Okay, right. I don't even like to look at them. Like I was on the beach and I drove accidentally across from the Hilton into the red lot there. That's relatively new.
Right.
I'm like, oh God, what am I doing? And I immediately left. I will never ever, like, I would walk across the bridge rather than park in the red lot on Pensacola Beach. So red lots are definitely overpriced and ridiculous in the way they enforce.
Yes, that's right. And also, any theories that we get any revenue from it, no, I get all the complaints. That's the only thing I get from red lots. I get all the complaints. There's no revenue. There's no partnership. They don't sign any agreement with the city. You know, all those theories of like, well, the city must have something to do with these lots in any way. We have nothing to do with it, except I am their complaint hotline. That's the only thing that we get. So second is we charge $1 per hour.
If you have questions or comments or complaints or praises, 437-1620, text me or call in either way. Go ahead, DC, you were saying.
All right, so we kind of touched on it. The other litmus test of whether it's us or not, short of special events in the Jefferson Garage during like Sanger Theater events, that's the only exception to us charging $1 per hour. So if you paid more than $1 per hour, you can also guarantee that that was not in a city-owned space. So
and,
what we're talking about is
$1. Half hour?
The first half hour is free. How it's working now is really what it is the first hour is 50 cents. That's what it is, because you have to register.
Got it.
So the first hour is 50 cents, and then every hour after that's a dollar. So
You do have to create a session.
That's correct.
Right?
The car has to be registered. Yeah, you can't just, because how are you going to track time? So,
right.
All right, third is we own close to 8,000 city spaces. 5,000 of those or more are free. Okay, so
how many total? 8,000?
About 8,000.
8,000, 5,000 are free?
Yes, okay. Between 7,500 and 8,000. 2,660 of those spaces are now, including the changes, are now paid.
And that's downtown or citywide?
That's downtown.
Downtown, okay.
Yeah, well, yes, the downtown
area. In the vicinity,
area.
Okay.
Yeah. So So it's important to understand that what we're talking about, and I think sometimes people get lost on this, they think that this is a change to make every single city space paid. Mm-hmm. That is not the case. City Hall is two blocks away from Palafox, all free. Spring Street, all free. There's free parking, ample for down by the ferry landing, there's some free parking. There's plenty of places to park for free. And as a matter of fact, two-thirds, 65 to 70% of our parking that the city possesses is free. So when we're talking about paid parking, understand what we're talking about is parking right in front of the jewelry store, right in front of the restaurant. We're not talking about that it is completely inaccessible if you would like to not pay. We can talk
we'll
more. I want to make
stuff.
Sure we
yeah. Starting to get some texts in. 437-1620. With the new parking downtown on Palafox, there are 6 handicap spots north and south. Can you park in regular paid parking with a handicap sticker and not have to pay, or do you still have to pay? And also, do you have to pay in handicap spots?
Great question. I will say this unequivocally. You absolutely never, ever, ever have to pay in a city-owned handicap space. Now, I was saddened when I learned that we now have private lots that are charging for handicap parking.
Wow.
Again, going back to that point, this is private property. You have to understand the relationship.
Right.
So what somebody chooses to do on their private lot, you know, I get it. I take it as a backhanded compliment that people think that I have the authority to go onto someone's private lot and tell them what to do or not do. But I don't. And that's sad and unfortunate that we have people that are operating private lots that are charging for handicap parking. That will never happen. As a matter of fact, I know it's against state law, and I believe it's against federal law for cities or counties to charge. So, yes, please share if you're listening. You can absolutely park in handicap spaces at no charge.
But not you just having a handicap sticker or hang does not get you free parking in a non-handicap space or in a lot that's not specified for handicap space.
That's my understanding. Okay. We can get clarity on
I just want to know the fact.
I would expect no, but but let me look into that because that is a possibility that could be yes.
Somebody says 437-1620. I love free parking. Let's have free parking based on time. A 2-hour zone, a 3-hour zone, and a forever zone. Anything other than downloading apps and giving credit cards and all that foolishness.
Well, part of this is, you know, we are in 2024, and this is just we want to make it as convenient as possible. I know for some of you out there, and I totally understand it. I've got family members where handling the app is difficult. I totally understand that. In the last 4 months, we did 52,000 transactions on our app. So for the most part, we are seeing, and you have the option of kiosks, you know, that are on site for those parking spaces. So, we do the best we can to make sure that it's convenient and accessible for everybody. I don't know that I would love to have the perfect solution. And some people want to go back to quarters going in the machine. I understand that. I don't know that that's an efficient way to do that over 3,000 spaces. And we've tried to cover that ground as best we can.
I think what it is, and speaking as somebody who's kind of in the age between, okay, people who are older than me kind of hate the cell phone and the apps and all of that stuff. People who are younger than me, it's like breathing, you know, don't even think about it.
Right.
I don't like having to install a new app. I actually installed a parking app and we went to Destin and I'm like, this is the only way we can do this. This really sucks. And was really deliberating. Do I risk a ticket or do I download the app that I don't want to have and my credit card and all of that stuff? Because I don't like that. And so I get where they're coming from.
Sure.
And also it's kind of this, God, it's always changing. You know, why don't you just fix it? You know, you're changing the app. You're changing which app? You're changing the times. You're changing the price. You're changing the locations. It's good Lord, just give me something to learn, and then I don't have to learn anything ever again. I think there's some of that, too. And, you know, there's some people, this would have been me about 2 years ago, and it's not me now, who don't have unlimited data. So downloading an app on the spot is you have to maybe pay for that, or you worry you're going to beat your, you know, all of that kind of cluster of things. Your thoughts?
I sympathize with the folks that have gone through lots of changes because they have. We don't doubt that. We didn't not anticipate that. We clearly know. I'm standing in front of you here for an hour to talk about this for that exact point, right? So we know that this is a lot of change. What I hope we've brought to finality is the app that the city parking is on is the largest parking app in the world. It's the largest parking app used in Florida. It is the best technological option we have had because we've the worst thing to have is an app that is buggy and doesn't work.
Right.
And that is what we had previously, frankly. And so, yes, I totally sympathize, but you have to understand where I'm at. I've come into this job and I'm trying to once and for all say, let's just go get the best technology there is to ensure that this is the best experience it could be. I know that doesn't solve or appease that anxiety and frustration. It's just the reality of where we are. But no, we have no plans to have one new app a year or anything like that. Trust me.
You're trying to win.
If you don't think I'm motivated to not change this app ever again, trust me. No one's as motivated to not make any more changes than I am.
And by the way, somewhat of a kudos to having picked a good app is that apparently at least some of the private lots are now using the app, which they are allowed to. That doesn't make it a city lot. That just means they're using this vendor who provides a service of collecting the money on their behalf, which is anybody can sign up for that. I could put you know, if I wanted to charge people to park in my driveway, you know, I could use the Park Mobile app, which, by the way, that's the name of it. Somebody asked, what is the app? It's Park Mobile.
That's correct.
Park Mobile is the name of the app. Follow up, you wanted to let people know about the handicap placards.
Yep, our team works quickly. If you have a handicap placard, even if you're not in a handicap space, it is free.
Okay.
So if you're in a city-owned space, not a red lot.
Space, city-owned.
Yeah. If you're on Palo Fox and there's no handicap available, as long as you have a handicap placard, you will not get a ticket. And if you do, you can always call 311 or...
Where can I buy those?
I don't know.
Just kidding.
Not at the city. I don't know where...
Yeah. No, but that does raise a question. Somebody texted in. Have you given any consideration to an annual pass for locals only?
Man, you'd think we'd play that question. We do have annual passes. We do have monthly passes that are available. And that's also one when we get complaints from someone who works downtown or something like that. We always guide them there. Also, on the top of the Jefferson Street garage during the day, the top floor is free. Whether you're an employee or a resident or a visitor, that's free. So we're trying to make as many accommodations as we can, understanding some of the different situations. We've just have, you know, the analogy I used before I came on the air, you know, our 5-year-old or 7-year-old has grown up really fast, and we've got this amazing downtown that 40% more people are in than 3 years ago. When I was working at the News Journal in 2007, New York Knicks was the only restaurant on Palo Fox. That was not even 20 years ago. And that's what's happening. And if you think about just the pure supply and demand of spaces, we don't require businesses downtown. My business, when I had it, don't require them to have parking lots, which is the way you should do it, right? Mm-hmm. Because of the vibrancy of downtown, and you know, be crazy to make require everybody to have their own parking lot. So what that means is the city infrastructure supports it, right? And that's what that's kind of the trade-off. Well, when there was one business downtown and its customers, that's easy to handle,
right?
When there's walk down Palo Fox and all those places don't have parking lots. You know, think about that. That is the major demand that has arisen in the last 10 years.
You have something even much more in demand than, say, Cordova Mall, and there's no parking lot surrounding it.
That's correct. And so the city becomes the parking lot,
right?
In essence, and that is the trade-off, and a good one. I think we should never require a business on Palo Fox Street to go purchase their own parking lot. That's not feasible. But that's where the demand is coming from. Mm-hmm. And so this isn't a change because we feel like it. This is a change that was proposed 3-4 years ago. We are growing at an exponential rate downtown, and we have to have some revenue to anticipate that growth. We need a parking garage. We need one, and how are we going to pay for it?
Yeah, we're going to talk about that next. Where's the money going? I got a lot of texts. We'll get to the text, but I know people have this question. How much money are you generating? Persuade me that it's not just a money-making scheme.
Sure.
And where's the money going to go?
Yep. That's the most fair question. If I were to switch roles with a citizen, that is the most fair question that should be asked. And I have an obligation to answer the bell on that. At parkpensacola.com, which is our current, it'll take you to our parking page, we're overhauling it. We're going to, not exactly in real, probably at a daily, weekly basis.
Okay.
Ultimately, in real time, we're going to be listing what our revenue is and where that money is going. Because for this entire model to work, for me to come into you, Andrew, and say, hey, the reason we're doing this is for availability of spaces and to turn and to anticipate growth, what we don't want to have happen is these dollars go somewhere else or we don't know what they're going to. So the final piece of the triangle of these changes that Donald Shoup suggests and that we're making that are data-driven and we believe important is for us to generate revenue of which to reinvest back into this area. What a citizen should expect from the mayor, from the city, is, okay, fine, I'm paying $1 an hour now. I can live with that. Tell me what I'm getting. Well, you might be getting a reimagination of Palafox Street with increased safety and aesthetic that we might be talking about soon. You might be getting more officers like a CRA sergeant, you know, coming downtown where we continue to grow that area. A parking garage that we could probably sustain right now costs $15 million. So what I'm the mayor
of
the city.
How much do we revenue at this current model a year?
At this current, well, we don't
know
because we just started.
Right.
We're specking about $2 to $3 million a year.
Okay.
Yeah. So a $15 million parking garage, it's about $30,000 of space. Is something that we've started the feasibility on. So we have the availability of spaces. Here the truth is...
We're going to run out of time.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. I hear the music.
Yeah,
go
we're right, we'll right come toward back. The end. Listen, you've got a bunch more texts we'll get to. The mayor's going to stick around until 8:30, and we're going to ask more of these questions. And we'll podcast. I know some of you got to go into work right now. Okay, that's fine. We'll podcast this as we always do, and you'll be able to listen to it later if you want to hear his answers. But continue to send in your questions, 437-1620. Mayor D.C. Reeves is here with me for another half hour talking about parking.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, 8:10 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News and a rare extended conversation with Mayor D.C. Reeves about specifically parking. We'll have to put off all the other conversations for another time. There are many of them. But we're just talking about parking. And before we get back to all the texts, which there's a lot of them, 437-1620 if you want to add yours to the list. You gave a bunch of notes yesterday about the new law in Florida that requires private lot operators, red lot operators, to do things differently than they have been doing. And also you talked a little bit about the scheme that underlies all of the red lot operations. And I wanted to give you a second to explain because it was, I thought, very informative.
Yeah, thank you. And what I said at the top was, you know, there's a lot of confusion in our community about what the city does or doesn't control. We do not control red lots. We do not. We have no say. We get no revenue. Again, we are only the complaint hotline via email and phone for what happens in private lots. We have no control over it.
If they got an invoice in the mail, they got it from a red lot. If they got a boot on their car, they got it from a red lot. None of these things have anything to do with you.
If it doesn't say City of Pensacola on it, not. And so just what you're talking about, Andrew, that I mentioned yesterday, is this business model is built on confusion. It wants to create confusion. They want the mayor to be the human shield. Correct.
Yeah.
The mayor to be the human shield. The ambiguity thrives in this business model. And just the anecdote is one of the private lot operators puts on the bottom of their ticket, the name of their company just happens to be Municipal Parking. Now, that's either a coincidence or it's a deliberate way to make it sound like it's the mayor when it really isn't. And so
because they're counting on people getting the bill and thinking about it the way they would think about a parking ticket.
That's correct. And even though there is no legal authority to pay it, your credit cannot be run legally. The only jurisdiction that those tickets have is that if you go back to another red lot or whoever sent you the invoice, of course they could boot you or whatever they want to do when you go back into that lot. Only the city has the ability to put it on your license plate or a governmental entity. I'm very appreciative of those changes with the state legislature. Ultimately, there's several that they have to be notified at the front of the lot. Ultimately, it says this is not a governmental entity now.
The sign on the door, so to speak, of the red lot or the private lot is supposed to have a sign that says,
"Yeah, that what the fines are." It's supposed to say that you get a 15-minute grace period. So if it's a camera enforced private lot, you are allowed to drive in there for 15 minutes, so long as you don't park in a space. And if nothing's available or you were just picking someone up, that is now required by state statute to allow that and be posted. It's now on that invoice that you get in the mail. It now has to say in all caps, this is not from a government entity and is not subject to criminal penalties.
Oh, okay. So
I'm so thankful of the state legislature to start eliminating the ambiguity of which this business model thrives. And it's the city and the mayor and the residents that take the brunt. And I always say this, you've heard me say it, Andrew, when someone comes here from New Orleans and goes downtown and gets a ticket in the mail, they don't say, well, you know what? We're going to go back because I know that didn't come from the mayor. What it is this business model is eroding the downtown experience as a whole. The ambiguity is thriving.
Sure.
Hopefully, this is just the one.
They've
step
externalized everything about the negative to the city, basically, and while predating basically upon being a parasite upon the credibility and authority of the city to enforce the things that they're building for. And just one last quick thing before we go back to the text: the signs are in or not in? Because on Tuesday there were no signs.
No, on Sunday when I was driving around,
there were no signs.
There are some going up. You need binoculars for them. but it is, to be fair, you know, there is no, I believe.
You're saying there's little piles of dirt underneath the signs?
A couple, yeah.
so they're relatively new.
Yeah. So, but nonetheless, that makes it in compliance. And I believe the city is going to codify this state law that will now give us some enforcement ability that if you are not complying as a private lot, we'll be able to do something about it.
And again, a great, wonderful, Tallahassee did it right in this case, and I appreciate that. All right, back to the text, 437-1620. The city of Pensacola has raised parking fees downtown. Parking ticket fees, parking fees at the airport, and now stormwater assessment increases for homeowners. What increase can city residents look forward to next?
I think that's it. I think that's it so far. The reality is, as I always say, I understand inflation's hitting everybody. That things are getting more expensive. What you have to understand is that city government is not immune to that.
Right.
When labor becomes more expensive, it's more expensive to the taxpayer. When insurance becomes more expensive, it's more expensive to the taxpayer. I think sometimes we say, well, that's just the government, and we think that there's just no changes or adjustments.
Market forces, right.
So let's take stormwater assessment. So we right now, we aren't even up to where it should be from 5 years ago. So we have no grant match money. If we want to go get a $5 million grant for a new pond that we need, we are not generating any dollars for even the match, like a 10 or 20% match. So making this correction will allow us to do that. Here's the reality. As I always say, I know people are frustrated about this subject, about stormwater. The easiest thing for me to do is nothing. I can sit in this office and say, that's too politically hot button for me. I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. But none of this is helpful to me. I believe this is helpful to the community. If we want to go where we're already going, by the way, I'm not trying to take us somewhere we aren't already going. But these are just some realities that we have to face. And I'm the person in the position that has to be able to make these decisions and make tough decisions. That doesn't mean I make them lightly. I can back up with data and with research every one of these decisions that we're making. These are not made flippantly. We understand that the pain that everybody's feeling.
He hears the citizens and, you know, he's heard me disagree with him. And so, you know, this is not something where he's unaware that there's concern and consternation. Mayor, is there an interactive map showing all the blue and the free spaces parking?
Yeah, I'm glad that question got asked because I think it was at the end of that break. We are overhauling parkpensacola.com. So by the time the grace period is over, it's September 15th, there will be an interactive website that you'll be able to pull up.
On your app?
On parkpensacola.com that's mobile friendly.
Okay.
You'll have maps. We will be tracking every dollar we take in and what we spend it on. We are going to do a proactive job with how we disseminate information. And that's what I was saying before that break is, listen, what the citizen should expect when this fee goes up or they're paying 50 cents for parking, doesn't matter. You should expect to know what you're doing, what the city is doing with your money. That is a 100% principled obligation, I believe, of this job. So that is what we'll do, and we won't make you dig for it in the budget every year. We are going to put it out in front of you on parkpensacola.com.
Questions along the same line, just to honor the question. How will citizens be able to see that funds are collected after expenses are designated for the payment of a new parking garage, which has been given as the reason for the parking fee? Please ask the mayor what the revenue generated from parking is used for along these same lines. So, you know, all you've kind of answered.
Let me add, though, too, this is not just one tactic for one parking garage. This is going to pay for many things. And if you look at the parking study, it mentions those public safety enhancements, infrastructure enhancements, garage, parking garage. Again, we're looking at a reimagination of South Palafox Street right now. So that will be using parking funding as well.
Here's a frustrated one, says the mayor talks to us and tells us things are going to go his way and doesn't care what we think.
I mean, I'm sitting here again. I don't know why I'd be on the show for an hour if I don't care. I mean, I want to answer the questions, and if there's myths to bust, you know, we can do that. Or, you know, certainly want to hear folks' concerns. But again, we don't make these decisions lightly. We understand that it affects people.
Here's one that was asked and answered earlier. Why don't we make a yearly annual pass and put a little P sticker in the bottom left corner of your rear windshield or something like that? And the answer is we do have a program, and you can.
The easiest thing to remember, call 311 and say, I want a monthly pass or an annual pass. They'll get you that information.
Why not make DIB pay for it instead of making the customers pay for it?
Well, understand, DIB's revenue is generated by downtown property owners who already pay 2 mils of property tax that no one else pays. So, that's a completely different entity of which I have no jurisdiction. That would be a Walker Wilson question about what they want to spend their money on. But what I can tell you is they do a very effective job, whether it's all of the people picking up all trash downtown, whether it's pressure washing, whether all those things. There's many things that Walker could elaborate further on that they spend their limited funds on.
And also, to be fair, this is not exclusively a money generating. This is, at its core, designed to turn over the spaces.
That's correct.
So that the places that are in demand closer into the businesses get turned over because they do cost money as opposed to being free. And, you know, we've talked about that many times. Many same-size cities in Florida have free parking in their downtown areas. It makes convenient parking accessible for all. Extremely disappointed in the mayor's decision to change parking downtown streets. It seems to be a money grab for the administration. Calling BS on the amount of free parking as well. As a senior citizen who is not handicapped, I don't want to walk 6 blocks for a cup of coffee. Worst decision made for residents and businesses.
Well, great. First of all, if you park at City Hall, you're 2 blocks away, and I guarantee it's free. So let's go down from 6 blocks to 2 right out of the gate. Money grab is I have two choices. I can wait for infrastructure problems to get to the 55,000 citizens who elected me into this job and come to them and pull out my pocket liners and say, oop, you know what? We don't have any money. I'd like to bond a garage on the 55,000 people that live here. Or I can do something that I believe is more equitable. And this is a very important statistic. If you take nothing else from this, 85% of the transactions that have happened since we've gone to $1 an hour are from people who do not live in the city. Mm-hmm. 85%. So if you have a problem with that efficiency, then I would be criticizing the bed tax, which is less efficient than that in terms of local versus out of town. And I'm not saying you should. I just mean that is a wildly efficient way to make sure that people from out of the state are helping fund this parking garage, not just the 55,000 people who live here. I think that's a very important distinction when people say, well, I already pay my taxes for that. Sometimes that becomes the default answer for everything. But the reality is, if you don't own property or live in the city limits where you're paying franchise fees and things like that, if you are not doing that, there are $0 that are being contributed just because you buy something downtown that we don't get some special revenue from that.
I thought your explanation yesterday was quite beautiful, that local option gas tax you pay at the pump and local option sales tax that you pay when you buy at a store, even that. Actually, the money gets siphoned away from the city because half of those revenues are generated in the city, but you only get population share, which is correct. Like 16-18%, right. Something like that. So literally paying sales tax downtown actually benefits Escambia County. It's reverse fairness because correct. About half that's of the correct. Money. So I thought that was very interesting. Somebody else had a question about enforcement. When will you actually start enforcing the sign requirements at the red lots? And is there any possibility of booting their cars for not putting up the required signage?
Oh, man, what a great idea. don't say I don't listen to the community. I just wrote that down. It's in the state statute. I think if we codify it in the city, that'll give us a little more. So we're still looking into that, but, in terms of what we can do if they aren't complying. Yeah.
And also, one of the complaints has been that if you charge for parking, which, look, as much as I hate paying for parking, even I acknowledge that $1 an hour is very, very reasonable. Okay, that's if you're going to pay, I'd rather pay that than anything higher than that. But the concern is that it harms downtown. And I know a lot of people who say they won't go downtown or they won't go downtown now or they get frustrated, whatever, it's going to harm downtown.
Yeah, and listen, we met with the downtown business owners and discussed this for this exact reason. And they support it because we know, back to my point about infrastructure, that it's either going to be on the backs of 55,000 Pensacola residents or business owners who, whether they use downtown or not, there's a lot of Pensacola citizens who don't come downtown who would now be paying for our infrastructure. Or should we just do it more fairly and equitably? And if you don't come downtown, you're not paying anything. Great news. And if you come downtown every day, you're helping contribute more to that infrastructure. I mean, I think that's as fair a way as you can do it. And Andrew, to your point, we were charging 50 cents an hour. So we're already making you charge. We're already putting the app out. And we were making in 1 year about what one private lot was making in revenue. So we were kind of in the middle. We're already making you get the app out and charge, but we weren't charging enough to have any type of positive change. And that's why we had to make this decision.
I think probably, speaking from my own perspective, and I've told you this before, but for people who haven't heard, the thing that for me has been frustrating is I thought I had a free space here and it goes away. Mm-hmm. I thought I had a free space here and it goes away. And it's like I keep having to move to find new spaces. And then it's the hours change. And now, you know, I have to go downtown for some event. And okay, well, I either have to pay or I have to park much farther away. And it just keeps getting worse and worse from my perspective.
Sure.
And I just kind of like, I want to know, when is the encroachment on my happiness going to stop?
Well, again, if it's self-motivating, coming here and talking with you for an hour, our hope is that
you never want to have to do this again.
That's correct. But it's important to point out, I know we only have a minute, but it's important to point out, when we asked what's the number one complaint about parking, it's availability of spaces.
Yeah.
Then we said, when can you not find them? 88% of people said nights and weekends. What do we charge on nights and weekends? Zero. So I know the hours are frustrating, but that is everything I'm saying isn't true if we don't charge during the highest demand time.
Right.
That's why we had to make that change.
And I will freely acknowledge that this is very much a byproduct of an entitlement mindset where you get used to the way something is, and then when somebody takes it away, it feels like a loss. Even if you rationally can admit it shouldn't have been that way in the beginning, it still is a taking, and you still resent that. And I know that's my own reaction.
Totally understand that. It's just the reality of where we are, and we're just trying to do the best we can to help anticipate growth for the city of Pensacola.
I was trying to see if there was a last question that we could really put in here. Somebody here says, appreciate the mayor's granular level of engagement with improving the city's functions, especially ones like parking, which are guaranteed to agitate some citizens no matter the selective strategy. And, you know, I will amplify to that, you know, you do something and it's going to make people upset. You do nothing and it's hard to get blamed for doing nothing, but doing nothing wasn't an option. Mayor DC Reeves, thanks for the hour. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks for having me.